Texas, America, and the world. This is Mark Gankoff coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on Friday, February 24th at 2 p.m. Central Time on the Dankoff Report on RBN Live. Our special guest is going to be Johnny Punish of VT. If you don't know who Johnny Punish is, you need to find out who he is and to find out what he's doing at VT, both with VT Radio and VT Video and all kinds of things that are going on with him. Along with the promotion of Jonas E. Alexis to being a co-senior editor of VT, along with Dr. Kevin Barrett. So we'll let Johnny on and just here very shortly. The rest of the show will be to talk about what he's doing over there. We're not going to do live call-ins today so we can maximize Johnny's time with us. Fasten your seatbelts for the Mark Dankoff Roadmap. This just came into my phone from Alexander Mercuris. The Russians have taken Berkova. This means that they are well on their way to taking Bakhmut. Once they take Bakhmut and set up their artillery on the high ground, which is, I guess, west of Bakhmut in the hills, then the next move is clearly going to be those famous, infamous Russian artillery barrages that will start commencing to strike at both Slavyansk and Kramatorsk. More about that, of course, later. Today, of course, the emphasis is Johnny Punish at VT. But we have all kinds of things on the roadmap for you in regard to events with Russia and Ukraine. Take a look at Mercuris over at the Duran for the latest on that situation, as I have just reported it to you. RT, Biden's pervert of the month, Sam Brinton. Sam Brinton, the non-binary nuclear engineer fired from the Biden administration after being charged with stealing suitcases from two airports, has been accused of stealing from a third woman and even wearing her custom-designed clothes to public events. Nice to know that we have somebody like this who up until recently was in charge of nuclear security for the Biden administration. RT says that the police have now changed their story on the so-called suicide of a former Clinton aide. This is an interesting story because it involves one Mark Middleton, who was a middleman between Bill Clinton and Jeffrey Epstein of Mossad-linked Epstein-Maxwell sex trafficking ring. This would seem to be following along the lines of what happened years ago to the late Vince Foster and to the late Ron Brown and to a whole series of other folks, including Mr. Epstein himself. But take a look at what RT says about that. We've got it up there in the roadmap, along with the original Daily Mail report. Whitney Webb has a bunch of things out there on Mark Middleton and Clinton and Epstein. We have posted those videos for you from Whitney Webb. She also has a new book out that I'll mention at the very end of this roadmap. Thomas E. Lee, is he yet another add to the Clinton body count? No, we're not talking about Robert E. Lee. We're talking about Thomas E. Lee, who is a Jewish big-time hedge fund guy, multi-billionaire, who has suddenly turned up dead. Gunshot wound, supposedly self-inflicted. There was a story on this guy a few years ago in the Israeli Haaretz, which we posted for you, along with the Daily Mail report as to Mr. Lee's untimely death. It really makes you wonder. All kinds of things related to East Palestine, Ohio, for you up there on the roadmap. Russia, Ukraine, obviously, we've got a ton of stuff up there on that. When it comes to Russia, Ukraine, take a particular look at the YouTube video put out by Colonel Douglas McGregor, The Russian Onslaught. This is a must-view for Dankoff RBN listeners because McGregor tells you in great detail what is absolutely bogus about the mainstream media stories that you're hearing about what's going on over there militarily, including all of the deliberately false trash that has been put out today on CNN's main page at CNN.com. So take a look at that. I had what I thought was a very good interview with David Duke on Wren several days ago, where Dr. Duke had me on, and we talked specifically about the Jewish character of this war on Russia and the utilization of Ukraine as a battering ram for those purposes. I had a very good conversation with ACH and Dr. Slattery on some of those same topics. Take a look at those shows at your leisure. We have the official Kremlin English language translation of Vladimir Putin's presidential address to the Federal Assembly. Read that in detail. This presents his side of the story in regard to all kinds of things that have been going on. Fascinatingly enough, we will reiterate what Alexander Mercuris tells us to do at the Duran and that is whenever Putin says something or has an extended speech, go to the Kremlin official site to get the real translation of what was said in English, or that you're not misled by people who are deliberately mistranslating Mr. Putin's remarks for mainstream media in the West. Brian Berletic has a number of new Atlas videos that we posted up there in regard to the war in Ukraine. South Front, likewise. My old buddy, Father John Whitehead, the Russian Orthodox priest right here in Spring, Texas, has a series of things from his Telegram page that I put up for you that dovetail with other things going on with Global Orthodox, other things going on with Alexander Dugin at Geopolitica. I put up one of my now somewhat dated homeschooling papers entitled Christian Martyrdom in the American Empire, Mark Dankoff and the New World Order, because that overlaps with a lot of the things that we could absolutely talk about here. Casey Michael for Politico has an article entitled How Russia Became the Leader of the Global Christian Right. Mr. Michael doesn't like that. I happen to like it, but nonetheless, contrast what he has to say on this subject with some of the sources at Russian Faith and LifeSite News that think that Vladimir Putin is a great thing for the global Christian right. Pick which side of that debate you're on, but we put up things from both sides of that debate, including, frankly, some things put up by the so-called queer media that make it very clear that they are totally behind Zelensky, totally behind Ukraine in this effort. And those articles, when you contrast and compare, will give you a pretty good picture of the extent to which this cultural war is a major part of a global confrontation between Russia and the increasingly global homo Western world. Sputnik, what's new with the START treaty? And why did Russia suspend it? That's an excellent piece that really explains the Russian side of the story in regard to the history of this START treaty, which came to us in phase one and then phase two. And this new, what was to be a new phase three, was suspended by Russia on the basis of, I think, a lot of very valid reasons. But take a look at that at your leisure. There are some very, very incredible things up there in regard to the latest technical things that have been published in regard to Russia's hypersonic Kinzhal missile program. Can you imagine a missile that can travel at 10 times the speed of sound that there's no existing air defense for? Some of these warmongers in the United States, including Victoria Nuland, ought to be taking a look at that before they so eagerly put the United States and its men and women into harm's way over something that should be largely none of our business. And as we continue going through these things, one other major thing that perhaps ought to be mentioned is that there was a conference a few days ago, exactly 5 days ago now, I guess, and that conference was entitled the Rage Against the War Machine conference in Washington, D.C. I had some things to say about that and in previous shows. I won't cover that in any great detail here. Be aware that that's out there. I put some new things up about George Soros in your roadmap that you can read at your leisure. And before we bring Johnny on, I'll mention just one more story. The outrage of the week. The Munich Security Conference, if you've been following this Russian-Ukrainian war at all, and a lot of the blather coming out of the Munich Security Conference, which is an attempt to give global homo side of this conference, or a side to this war, excuse me, you'll see that they have on their official website the John McCain Dissertation Award. This is in memory, quoting these people now, this is in memory of its longtime companion, U.S. Senator John McCain. The Munich Security Conference annually awards the John McCain Dissertation Award. This prize honors outstanding academic achievement in the field of transatlantic relations, especially if you're trying to start World War III. No, I just added the last part of that, but the rest of that is exactly on there, folks. And last but not least, at the very end of the roadmap, we have a YouTube video that Father John Whitehead here in Texas sent me. It's entitled How Religious Institutions Are Subverted, State Intelligence and Foundation Funding. Beware, folks, if you suddenly see your church body or denomination getting increasingly flaky it may well have something to do with this. And by the way, I am a Lutheran pastor, as many of you know, largely retired from those sorts of endeavors. But one of the Lutheran synods, the so-called Lutheran Congregations in Mission for Christ, LCMC, was doing a major fundraiser recently for Things Ukrainian. I wrote them a letter, and I asked them to consider a lot of evidence that suggests that they don't know what they're supporting. Although maybe they do. Who knows? But that's the end of the roadmap. Johnny Punish of VT, are you there, sir?
Absolutely, Mark. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I can hear you just fine. And at some point, there's going to be some bumper music to take us to the break. But tell us who you are. Many people know who you are. We put your profile up, by the way, on the roadmap. Also tell us what you've been doing at VT and some of the rather exciting, what I think is exciting stuff that is starting to really push you guys to a new level.
Well, thanks, Mark. Yeah, you know, this is the first time anybody's ever asked me on media about me. I've been on press TV talking about the Palestinian issues, about the Middle East, Israel, Zionists, et cetera, et cetera. But this is actually the first time. So I want to say thank you for inviting me on to share the VT story, because I think it's an important story that people just don't know about. And let me start by saying I'm the founder and owner of VT, veteranstoday.com. I started it in 2004. And interesting enough, I started it right here in the small little beach town of Playa del Carmen, Mexico. The real story is this. It's super interesting. I actually had the privilege and honor of retiring early when I was younger. I was in the publishing business before the internets were invented. This is back in the 80s. And so I had a little bit of chance to not work for a living, and I lived like a hippie on the beach, and I met another hippie. I'm going to tell you his name was Steve. I'm not going to tell you his last name. It's not Steve Jobs. It's just a guy named Steve. He worked in a cubicle at Microsoft, and he got sick of it. He was disgusted by the whole corporatocracy. And he went crazy, started smoking weed on the beach, and I joined him. And we sat there, and he was just discussing how this thing, new thing called the internet was emerging. And he said, I can create a thing called a website. I'm like, what the hell's a website? I didn't really know what that was, because I was in the print publishing business back then when it was print was king, you know? Yes. So we sat there, and we developed a thing called PHP, writing code, for the first VT. It was 2004 early. I think it was January, if I remember correctly. And the reason I did it is because previous to that, I was sent a picture of one of my friends from college, best friend from college. His name was Ayman. And he sent me a picture of him and Saddam Hussein in the cell. He was the first special forces to interview Saddam Hussein. Now, I didn't know that till a year or two after. And so I said, well, Ayman, let me tell the story, or let me help, because I have media skills, even though I haven't worked in a while because I did retire. I said, let me help. He says, well, create a website, do something, get the word out, help our U.S. veterans, help America out. I said, okay, I'll do it. And that's how VT started. It was really a volunteer thing, had nothing to do with money whatsoever. It had everything to do with helping the United States out, veterans, the exposing issues like PTSD or the issues of the Iraq war at the time, if you recall the Iraq war. And that's kind of how it started. And then it morphed over 2 or 3 years. It kept growing, growing, growing. Eventually, a gentleman named Gordon Duff called me on the phone, asked if he could write some articles for VT. I said, absolutely. I mean, what I wanted was, I didn't want it to be my voice. I wanted it to be the voice of the people. I wanted to seek truth. I didn't want to seek my truth, but I wanted to seek the truth. And so it wasn't about my ego. So I said, absolutely, Gordon, you write articles. So he started doing that. Got a phone call from a lot of people. People started writing in. They wanted to reach the audience. So I did that. Jim Dean came along eventually a couple years later. And all the characters that you've heard of on VT followed suit. And we really, really did a bang-up job. The reason why you didn't hear from me or hear of me is because I purposely stood in the background. I felt my job was to open it up to all the great people with great voices, even differing voices, voices that I didn't even agree with, or they didn't agree with each other. I felt that the internet was an open book. It was a place for, this is back in the day, of course, before the corporatocracy got a hold of it, you know? Yes. It was open. We could do anything we want. So I was like, yeah, truth, let's go for it. We started posting truth. and nobody censored us. Nobody was in our face. It was all good. Those were the days when Google's mantra was "do no harm." You know, that was their kind of mantra. And not today anymore, unfortunately. But it was back
to plenty of harm. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, no, truthfully, that's how they started. Their original mantra was, "We want to open up the internet to the whole world," and it was a good idea. And it just morphed into a corporatocracy. Once money got a hold of them, it got corrupted. You know, with VT, money never got a hold of it because, you know, by the time we started actually monetizing and getting a few advertisers, we were banned by everybody.
Yeah.
So it didn't matter.
Yeah.
But I was in a good position of leverage because the truth is I didn't need the money, thank goodness. You know, I had already have a home that's paid for. I already have a home that I don't pay rent or mortgage. So I'm very fortunate. I realize that, and I don't make any light of it. But it gives leverage when you can't be bought by money. That's the key. So if you don't need the money, then you can't get seduced by the money. And that's kind of how VT stayed. And it did great for a long time. About 2017, when Trump came in, unfortunately, the media organizations started getting scared. The fake news thing got around, and Facebook started censoring. Google started censoring. We were banned by AdWords. We were banned by Facebook. Twitter now warns everybody about us. I mean, it goes on and on and on. Now we're called anti-Semitic. We're called this. We're called that. I mean, on and on and on. And so there you go. That's the basic story of VT and how it started and where it is, how it got to where it is today.
Yes, and when you're looking at that story, Johnny, it's obvious that as far as what we know today, stuff that's been published in the New York Post, stuff that has been published, you know, even in the British media, that has chronicled some incredible cooperation, shall we say, between Facebook, Twitter, Google, Instagram, and YouTube, and the deep state, the dark deep state in the United States. It's been apparent to me that since, for obvious reasons, since Trump's election, this has all stepped up big time. I saw it coming. And to me, without knowing all of the details, and I'm sure some of the details you can't share, I think VT was one of the top sites and top efforts that was being targeted because of the number of hits you were getting.
Yes.
And also because of the basic impact that VT was having in really getting the word out there in a way that obviously the deep state does not want at all now, because the stakes have increased. We'll talk about how those stakes have increased with Johnny Punish of VT. But Mark Dankoff returns on RBN Live with the Dankoff Report from San Antonio, Texas. Stay tuned.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's just a few. Amazon customer, 5 stars. Honestly, this stuff works. Nick, easy to take capsules. For those who can't handle the liquid drops, easy to take Extendivite capsules do the same job. Karoka Fam, works great. Like Extendivite very much. Seems to work as advertised. Thanks. Arlene, 5 stars. Love this product, Extendivite. Terry W., 5 stars. Can't say enough. Great product. Freya, 5 stars. I just ordered another. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendovite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with
Hi, Tom Bolton for EaseOff. I know so many of you are finding our EZ4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight 4 of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Hello, Tim. The world, this is Mark Dankoff, and we are back with the Dankoff Report on the Republic Broadcasting Network on this Friday, February 24th. Our special guest is Johnny Punish, VT. Take a look at the Veterans Today website, folks. You'll see what Johnny Punish and Dr. Kevin Barrett and my old friend Jonas E. Alexis are cranking out day after day after day. And when it comes to Jonas E. Alexis, his tremendous encyclopedic 2-volume set on Rabbinic Judaism and Christianity, published by the Tom and Nelson Publishers. You won't be sorry if you buy those volumes. I was not asked to plug that. I'm doing that of my own accord. I'll admit that Jonas sent me these volumes for free some years ago. He and I worked on a lot of things for VT before he invited me to become more directly involved as an occasional contributor. And when it comes to Johnny Punish, I'll simply say this. If you go to VT Radio on the VT Veterans Today website, you'll see that VT Radio is not simply audio, it's about video. And Johnny's been getting me up to speed in terms of the quality of the stuff that we do with the camera at my end of things that improves the television image of the guest being interviewed by Johnny, and you can see how amazing these shows really are. I've tended to talk about the Russian-Ukrainian conflict when I've been on with Johnny, although our last effort dealt with the Super Bowl and with the cultural implications of the Super Bowl and such mundane things as point spreads and over and unders. Two days before the game was actually played. But you will enjoy those videos, which are also available on YouTube, believe it or not. And getting back now with Johnny here. Johnny, we were talking about the fact that it seems that the New World Order in the American deep state, the people basically pushing for a world government, which they control, I think you would agree with that statement. To me, since the election of Trump in 2016, we now fast forward to 2020, where we had all of the controversy over this COVID outbreak, the COVID vaccines, the COVID shutdowns. Then, of course, we got into what many people continue to insist was a rigged election, rigged American presidential election in 2020. Without getting into the vote counting issue, I would simply say that one proof of the extent to which the deep state was involved in rigging this thing for Biden was the public information we now have on the deep state's role in working with Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Google, all these other outlets to suppress the New York Post expose on Hunter Biden's laptop and what was in it just several weeks before the American presidential election in the first Tuesday of November in 2020. You may recall, folks, that at the time, various big names in the deep state were dismissing all of this and saying that they did not want Russian disinformation to be disseminated to the American population before the election via this New York Post story. It's now been proven that the things that are in that story are absolutely true, and that the Russiagate story itself in 2016 was a complete fabrication of the deep state. And this now brings us to all of these latest suppressions of the deep state in regard to matters pertaining to American alternative media, the Russian-Ukrainian war, and various things going on as we approach the 2024 elections. Johnny, do you guys at VT sense that the stakes have risen in terms of things you guys are being subjected to get your message killed?
Oh, well, absolutely. You know, previous to 2017, we had a lot of issues of censorship, but they weren't like they are today. Today, it's a corporatocracy, full court press on everything, everywhere. It's incredible. I'm flabbergasted by it. I knew it would come, but not like this. I mean, they are really, really cracking down, and they censor not by cutting you off, but by cutting off your monetization legs. You know, previous to 2017, you could do things for free on the internet. Nothing's for free anymore. So you have to monetize or you die. In other words, you have to have a way to generate some revenue to pay off all these corporations that are sticking their hands out. Every time you want to use something on the internet, you got to pay for it. So it wasn't like that in the old days, but it is that way today. So it's something that we're all dealing with. I know you're dealing with that, Mark, and everybody else is too. And we're all trying our best. So, it's a full press clamp down. We're doing our best. It's hurting. It hurts our traffic because they cut off traffic to us. So we went from 4 million down to 1 million. And that's the reality of it. And we're fighting back. One of the fight backs is VT Radio. We're trying to get off places to different places on streaming and Spotify and other places to get our message out and try to put it as many places as we can to get the word out. So every time they clamp down, we're popping up somewhere else.
Yes. This is our immediate break, folks. We'll have a longer segment with Johnny when we come back to the Dan Koff Report on the Republic Broadcasting Network, live from San Antonio, Texas. Stay tuned. We'll be back with Johnny Punish.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Einstein once said, "Future medicine will be the medicine of frequencies." What did he know? Imagine you hear ocean waves caressing a beach, or a favorite song from the past, or the trickle of the babbling brook. All of these are sound frequencies that positively affect us. Terahertz is a soothing, healing frequency that has been proven to resonate at the same frequency as healthy cells. It penetrates the body and stimulates new, healthy cell growth. Want to diminish muscle aches, joint pains, and experience a greater sense of well-being? Tired of spending money on short-term remedies that never seem to work? Soothing, healing, relaxing terahertz frequency is now available and as handy as flipping a switch. Terahertz technology is changing the course of what we were taught about how to maintain our health and well-being. To read more about this amazing breakthrough and to order your terahertz frequency wand, go to naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
Standing 6'4", weighing in 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science, analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because
you steal an election and terminate the republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. Fuck you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be the bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
In times like these, you can't depend on the government to keep you warm and fed, but you can depend on the Vermont Bun Baker to do just that. With a Vermont Bun Baker, you'll never be in a situation where you can't cook, bake, fry, boil water, or heat your home all at the same time. One of the most revolutionary cook stoves, wood stoves ever, the Vermont Bun Baker is available with or without soapstone veneer, a natural stone that retains heat and radiates it back into the room once the fire is out. A beautiful addition to your home, the Vermont Bun Baker has an efficiency rating well above 75% and qualifies for the wood stove tax credit. For more information, watch the Vermont Bun Baker on YouTube and live stream, or visit us at www.vermontwoodstove.com. You can also reach us by calling 1-866-SOAPSTONE. Don't ever be hungry or cold because the power's gone out. With a Vermont Bun Baker, all you have to worry about is what's for dinner.
Coming to you live on the Republic Broadcasting Network with the Dan Koff Report on this February 24th, Friday afternoon, with the great Johnny Punish of VT. And again, folks, I can't stress enough, go to the VT site and take a look at all the stuff that's there, certainly. But Johnny's VT radio productions, which are basically VT radio video productions, you will see just how terrific they really are with the content as well as with the technical end of it. And I know that the technical end of what he does with me has greatly improved, as he has advised me what to do to get my camera image up to speed. And that didn't take much improvement at all in my basic low-budget studio for that to transpire. But my initial video with Johnny and the Russian-Ukrainian war, if you're looking for a primer just to sit down some night and to watch the thing to get up to speed on what has been going on in this war, that is simply one place among many to do it. And I would mention to people again, go to the YouTube video with Colonel Douglas McGregor that is on your roadmap that'll be posted with this show after it goes to archives. The Russian onslaught. This is a must-view for my listeners to contrast what Colonel McGregor is telling you and what people like Alexander Mercuris and Alex Christoforou of the Duran are telling you, or Scott Berletic with a new Atlas, Larry Johnson over at the Son of the New American Revolution, Larry, a longtime CIA analyst, certainly various sources at UNS Review, including Philip Giraldi and Mike Whitney. When you start reading all of these different people and listening to these people once in a while and comparing that with what you're being told by these mainstream media outlets, you will see the magnitude of the propaganda machine that has been launched against the American people. Johnny, back to you now. I have a brief thing I'm going to read from Press Television Iran.
Okay.
Title of this thing today is Biden Team, quote unquote, has deeply rooted hatred for Russia, warns U.S. lawmaker. That U.S. lawmaker is Arizona GOP Congressman Paul Gosar, G-O-S-A-R, by the way. And when you read through this, Congressman Gosar makes the statement that this cabal is seeking to get the United States involved in another world war. He says that, quote unquote, Elon Musk is correct. Gosar wrote in a tweet yesterday, Thursday, responding to Twitter CEO Elon Musk's comments in which he accused the U.S. Undersecretary of State Victoria Nuland, by the way, married to Robert Kagan of the Project for the New American Century, folks. Nuland was kind of spearheading the efforts to overthrow the legitimate government of Ukraine in 2014, if you're not familiar with who she is. He accused Nuland of, quote-unquote, pushing this war in Ukraine. Quote, both Nuland and Blinken have a deeply rooted, irrational hatred of Russia, and they seek to get the United States involved in another world war, the U.S. lawmaker said. These are dangerous fools who can get all of us killed, quote unquote. Now, Johnny, I happen to basically agree with Paul Gosar on this. Let's assume that we become more formally, officially involved in the war that we're already involved in, much in the same way that Franklin Delano Roosevelt finally got us into the war that he wanted by arranging a few things that became known as Pearl Harbor. If we go to war officially, God forbid, with Russia and China and Iran together, aside from the monstrous, monstrous global implications of that and military implications of that, what do you think an event like that would mean to the American alt-right media? Could you actually envision a situation where people like you and I could be thrown in jail or worse? They might not be able to get you because you're outside that. But do you think with people like me in particular in this country openly doing what I've been doing and with you guys as just one outlet, do you think that those of us doing that sort of thing could actually be imprisoned at some point if there's a wider war that becomes official? What's your read on that?
Great question. And let me just say that the reason, one of the main reasons I don't live in the United States is that reason specifically. It gives me a little bit more freedom, unfortunately, to express. It's analogous to when Wolfman Jack had to leave as a radio announcer to Tijuana just to broadcast rock and roll back in the day. I don't know if you remember that.
Yes.
So it's one of those things where, yes, I definitely, I mean, what we're witnessing right now is a battle royale for the control of the world. This is a resources-based control. Everybody's reaching out to try to control the resources, and those who control it get to write the story. And this is what we're seeing on top of the world. So could they censor? Could they crack down? Could they clamp down to the point of absolutely shutting down and arresting people? Well, we've already seen that before. Yes, the answer is absolutely true. Now, we're all fighting for it. We don't want it to happen, and we're going to do everything we can not to make that happen. But yes, it could definitely happen. If they go too far and they're losing and they have to do something drastic, they will shut down voices because they need to sell the propaganda to make sure that people join their team and join their side, whether they're winning or losing. But we've seen this on everybody's side. This has happened a long time ago. I want to go back, by the way, to World War I because, you know, we talked about Victoria Nuland. You know, she was made famous by Gordon Duff and Jim Dean when they exposed her back in 2014. You know, VT was ahead of this way before anybody else. And I'm proud to say that because I think those gentlemen did an amazing job of exposing it. I just got out of their way and let them do it because, like, you know what, guys? Go with it, man. You guys got what it takes. You know, tell the people what's up. And they did. And I'm very proud of them for that and proud of VT for being part of that. But here's the thing. In World War I, the reason why Israel exists is because Zionism, the Zionists, made a deal with England, a guy named Balfour. And part of that was getting the Americans into World War I. And in return for getting the Americans into World War I, they would get the land of Palestine. And guess what happened? The Ottomans lost, the Americans got in the war, and that was the very beginnings of Zionism infiltrating the United States Congress, buying off congressmen, buying off people. It was over 100 years ago it started. So this is nothing new. So when we see this today and everybody's outrage, I think what you're seeing is Americans finally waking up and go, what the hell happened? How did we get controlled by this? It didn't happen overnight, folks. It happened over 100 years, okay? And over those years, they were able to establish organizations that can fund, that can attack congressmen, that can get a congressman that says, hey, I don't think this is a good idea, and get him to switch his position and vote immediately by threatening him, by saying, hey, you know what? We're going to primary your ass, and you're going to get out of here, and we're going to put $1 million behind your local candidate, and you're going to get nothing. And boom, they put pressure, they put the screws on, and people that don't follow that, they get run, man. What was that girl, Cynthia, what's her name, that she got run? She
Cynthia talked, McKinney. Classic.
Yeah, Cynthia McKinney. She talked about Palestine. She was run in 5 seconds, man. They nailed her.
Yes, and you know, I was saying on Duke's show on Rents several days ago that this thing is just incredibly sophisticated, and the McKinney case is just one example of it.
Right.
Paul Findlay up in Illinois years ago, and Chuck Percy in Illinois, those are two other examples. The list goes on and on. But all the way back in 2014, Dr. E. Michael Jones, the Roman Catholic editor of Culture Wars, by the way, Dr. Jones recently discovered that he was on a list of an FBI list, a watch list involving traditional Catholics, FBI conducting this police state operation against trad Catholics with the chummy assistance of the Southern Poverty Law Center.
Apparently, my favorite.
Yeah. Sometimes they use those guys. Sometimes it's the ADL. But we all know that story. But back in 2014, a guy named Gareth Porter, who is one of the big wigs in so-called anti-war activism, and you'll see him on antiwar.com. I think he's even been in the American Conservative once or twice at least.
He's been on VT.
Yeah, he's been on VT. Well, you know, going all the way back, and the guy has some good things to say. But nonetheless, back in 2014, he attends a conference in Iran, the New Horizons Conference, that was being headed up by a guy named Reza Montazami. Now, the important thing about this is that all kinds of American activists across the political spectrum who oppose these Zionist wars in the Middle East were invited to be there, and that includes yours truly. Well, I did all the application work well ahead of time for iVisa. I never got a visa. 2, 3, 4 other people didn't get visas. Well, it subsequently comes out, when Porter gets back to the United States, he subsequently released all of these emails that he, private emails that he had had going on back and forth with Reza Montazami, which proved Porter's role in getting the Iranians and Montazami to covertly agree that certain invitees to this event would not be issued visas to come over there for the event, because they were talking about a series of things that Porter thought shouldn't be mentioned, and that there were several other people involved with Porter in this whose names I won't mention, but their household names, you would know their names, and that in this effort, Porter, it was revealed by Porter himself, was subsequently working basically undercover with the Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith, and all of this stuff came out at Porter's initiative after he left the conference in Iran, subsequently trashed the conference, he subsequently trashed Montazami, and he made it very clear that he, Porter, had been at work to make sure that some of the most dangerous anti-Semites were not there in Tehran. And fascinatingly enough, it emerged in some of these internal emails that were later published that Porter and others he was working with to ensure that a few of us didn't make it to Tehran, there were things like the Levant affair, Israel's attack on the USS Liberty, the Israeli link to the Kennedy assassination, the Pollard spy case, 9/11, and some of these other things. And of course, now we're also talking about their pivotal role through Victoria Nuland and others, this cabal, largely Jewish, that has been in the vanguard of promoting this American involvement in this Russian-Ukrainian war. This is the way these folks do business, where it's not simply a question of getting rid of a few honest congresspeople like Cynthia McKinney. It's also, in some cases, infiltrating movements like this New Horizons conference in Iran. It might be, as has been provably the case, the old Constitution Party which suddenly had some neocons floating around in it. That wasn't the original purpose of this party when it started. The Tea Party movement and some of these other movements ostensibly designed to accentuate American freedom and reaction against the rather lamentable state in which we find ourselves. And yet this whole thing has reached a point in terms of infiltration where not all that many years ago, the American conservative fired Dr. Philip Giraldi, the longtime ex-CIA chief, a brilliant analyst, head of the Council for the National Interest, totally responsible in his articles. When he was writing for the American Conservative, his intelligence report or intelligence digest, whatever they were calling it, was worth the price of the entire magazine. He suddenly gets let go of, and he's let go of because he was speaking a little bit too frankly within the pages of the American Conservative, originally a creation of Pat Buchanan, of all people. And all of a sudden, on issues Zionist, the American Conservative started looking a lot less like the Buchanan type of thing that you would have expected to get in the American Conservative. All of a sudden, it's looking a little bit, maybe not as bad as Bill Kristol's Weekly Standard, maybe not as bad as the late William F. Buckley's National Review, but nonetheless, that it was increasingly sanitized, it was increasingly toned down. And I would imagine that at VT, when you guys recruit people to become involved as contributors, that, you know, on occasion, you and Dr. Baird and Jonas have to be especially vigilant, I would imagine, to make sure that the operation stays as clean as it always has been up to this point.
You know, we of course we have to do that. We vet our people, making sure that we're putting people on there that have something to say and something intelligent to say, of course. But, you know, Mark, let me backtrack a little bit. Let me tell the listeners who I am a little bit more, because that's why I came on here today. Sure. My mother was born in Palestine, 1939, in a place called Haifa. She's a Palestinian. She's a Christian. So my knowledge of Zionism goes way back. The Haganah came to my family's house, my mom's house, kicked out the family, that's eight children and mother and father, my grandparents, kicked them out. They thought they were leaving for 3 days. You know, it was at gunpoint, of course. And they never returned. They ended up in refugee camps in Tyre and in Beirut, Lebanon for 12 years until they were able to make it to America in 1961. So I have a lot of experience with Zionism, Judaism, Israel, the creation of Israel, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Let me go back to my activism starting, because I want to tell the story that's very
Absolutely.
Interesting. It gives you a little insight to me as a person. When I was 18, I attended university and became an activist. My first protest was at the Israeli embassy in Hollywood. That would be Century City, I believe it was, back then. Irv Rubin, the head of the JDL, was there screaming at the top of his lungs with his microphone, you know, hell no PLO, blah, 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 blah. You know, this is for the Sabra and Shatila massacres we were protesting, right? Because yes. When they went into Beirut, Lebanon to massacre thousands of people, thousands, I'm talking 3,000-4,000 people were massacred, women, children, men, just slaughtered by the Israelis, by the Christian phalangists, who the Israelis let in, excuse me.
Exactly.
Make sure that's clear. So we're protesting. He's opening his big freaking mouth, and we're getting to a physical altercation with this jerk-off. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Fast forward, he worked for Rabbi Meir Kahani, who was, you know, the biggest promoter of all Arab dogs into the sea. I mean, this guy was a nut job, a psychopath.
A dangerous man.
Yeah, and he was assassinated as well. Of course, Irv Rubin was thrown off the balcony in jail when he killed my professor Alex O'Day at Cal State University Fullerton. He actually literally put a bomb at his office and murdered the guy, and he got caught. He went to jail for something like that. So and Meir Kahani was assassinated in the middle of the streets of New York, and we knew we had information about that. So. The FBI, you mentioned the FBI. The FBI has known my name since day one. They know who I am. I was there. They got a file of me so big it's not even funny. And they're probably listening to this phone call right now. I wouldn't doubt it. And, you know, it's just one of those things that we have to deal with. It's unfortunate, but good people get FBI files. And it, does it stop us? You know, I'm in my 60s here, and I'm approaching my older age. You do what you got to do. You speak the truth, the power, and you hope for the best. And, you know, what are you going to do? That's the way it goes.
Yes, and I'm certainly familiar in written articles and in years of research about everything that you cited that is a part of your personal history, Johnny. And interestingly enough, in terms of the of Irv Rubin's role in the assassination of Alex Odeh, I understand that Rubin played a direct role in the bombing of the Institute of Historical Reviews, a headquarters out there in the Orange County area, if I'm remembering.
Yeah, he's a psychopath. The guy was a psychopath, straight up. Absolute psychopath.
Yeah, obviously a dangerous man. And
I put my fist in his face, and he got pissed off, and I told him, JDL, go to hell. You say, hell no, PLO. JDL, go to hell. Let's go. And I've been after the JDL since then. I was 18 years old back then. I'm 60. I'm still after them. They still call me anti-Semite, and I'm a freaking Semite. My mom's a Semite, for God's sakes. What the hell are they talking about anyway?
Yeah, Myers. Exactly.
And, they stole my family's house, Mark. Come on, man, at gunpoint. You think we're not pissed off about that 70 years later? What the hell, man?
Exactly. There's a guy right here in San Antonio, a close personal friend, Jacob Namar, who wrote the book Born in Jerusalem, Raised Palestinian. I think I've got a copy of the book here in my library. And Jacob Namar's story, his family's story, is largely your story and your family's story. And Jacob Namar is a Roman Catholic Christian. And when one listens to your story or Jacob's story, I've been in his home a number of times talking to him, and of course I've read his book, and then you see the magnitude of the Israeli crimes, folks, that are going on a daily basis in Palestine, and the way in which that government and that lobby, in my judgment, virtually own the foreign policy of the United States. These people have played a disproportionate role in what has happened to the destruction of the First Amendment of the United States Constitution in this country. The yes. ADL's exposure for the spying operation that they were involved in 1993 in San Francisco. Michael Collins Piper, formerly of this network, formerly of the American Free Press, a friend of mine, no longer living, the author of the definitive book on the Israeli role in the assassination of Kennedy. He was one of the people targeted by the ADL. And, of course, when all this came out, the ADL had to kind of pay off and fess up in regard to the fact that they were illegally profiling American citizens and spying on them. But nonetheless, folks, here we fast forward some 30-odd years later, and we keep hearing that the ADL and the Southern Poverty Law Center are from time to time working with the FBI and profiling people like us. The ADL and the Southern Poverty Law Center are go-to cited experts on television and in mainstream media print articles when it comes to anyone that mainstream media wants to spin as a kook or an anti-Semite or an extremist. These are the people they go to as their sources of expertise. And now, of course, that this dovetails with the latest on the FBI profiling of traditional Catholics in this country. But lo and behold, again, we're kind of back to what we were talking about a little while ago, Johnny, and that is that as we are undoubtedly being listened to by all kinds of people in the American deep state, by the way, I think I've told you before, the National Security Agency's global internet surveillance operation is not in Fort Meade, Maryland. It's right here in San Antonio. And that's a big facility where they work in conjunction with Bill Gates, Microsoft. Anyone who wants to Google this online can see what the big complex looks like. And
well, that explains that big, huge antenna way behind your house.
Well, that's right. Yeah, that explains all kinds of things that have happened since my third-party run for the U.S. Senate in 2000. That was before 9/11. I was... I've subsequently been targeted for that situation. The Daily Beast engaged in an utterly libelous story on me, where when the true story of my third-party run came out, they just disappeared and never tried to profile me again publicly. But I want the listeners to understand the extent to which, when you do what Johnny Punish has been doing at VT, and the reasons why he's been doing it, all the valid reasons, and you look at these guys ranging from Kevin Barrett and Jonah C. Alexis to David Duke and the late Michael Collins Piper and yours truly, and I'm leaving out a lot of great people here, but suffice it to say that with all of these names over time that are generally on the deep state's horizon and on their radar, these are folks who could tell you things that they won't even discuss on the air, including Johnny, I'm sure, about all kinds of things that they have been subjected to, economic marginalization, all kinds of anonymous sources of character assassination distributed in local communities, physical threats that either have been directly in the form of the Irv Rubin story that we heard about with Johnny here, where there was a direct face-to-face confrontation. But these folks generally operate by attacks, physical attacks and threatened physical attacks that come out of nowhere, anonymous threats, all kinds of stuff. We are at the end of the hour, folks, on the Dan Koff Report on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our special guest has been Johnny Punish of VT. You must go to the Veterans Today site to look at all of the stuff that he does with the VT radio and audio outreach. I'd like to get him on again sometime to continue discussing his personal autobiography. At the same time, that I would commend to all of you the roadmap that will be available for a lot of viewing and a lot of reading, courtesy of yours truly, that will be up there when this show archives subsequently and shortly for later listeners. See you next week.
Thank you, Mark.
God bless. Thanks, Johnny.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, in trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee that's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio, only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.